say it loud enough. They didn't understand it. So I said, Dos Vedanta. And they were still looking at me strange. I thought, you know, third time's a charm, so I give it all I got. Dos Vedanta. And finally my interpreter said, you've just been saying goodbye to them. So the next time he introduced me, he said, welcome, brother, Brat Dos Vedanta. And I know how to get myself in trouble. But it is a great pleasure to be here. I'm going to tell you something. You'll face trials and tribulations whether you serve God or not. So why don't you just have fun and serve the Lord? It is a blessing to serve the Lord. God is good all the time. And he has blessed me. I've been saved for 44 years. I was involved in drugs. I was involved in booze. I was a long-haired hippie before I got saved. And then and God got a hold of me. And God changed my life. And I'm nothing, but he's everything. Amen. And all I've done is if I've said yes to him, he's guided the way. And I just want to urge you, those of you that are saved, early, I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes. God is great. He's got a great future for you. If you'll just serve him, if you'll just walk with him. I was thinking of this in Hebrews 11. This isn't the message, but I'm just giving you this. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, but without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he really is. That he really exists. That he is right there beside you. You know? He said, I'm with you always. But then he said this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My God is a rewarder. And I'm not talking about prosperity on this earth. You know, sometimes he gives us good things. Praise God. Sometimes he gives us material things. Praise God. Sometimes he gives us finances. Praise God. But he's a rewarder in heaven. Amen. And that's what we're working for. The rewards in heaven. Salvation's a free gift, but rewards are earned if you serve him. And I just want to say what they just sang. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That more that I love him, more love he bestows. And I just want to urge you to serve the Lord. So take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. We are emphasizing missions, challenging us to get a world vision in our life. A world vision. We all are selfish by nature, but God wants us to go beyond ourselves and have a world vision. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Am I on in this thing? Good. I just want to make sure. Galatians chapter number 1, let's stand one last time for the reading of the Word of God, and then I'm going to get right into the message. Galatians chapter number 1, and I want to read, as you look silently on, beginning in verse number 6. Galatians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That means somebody preaches any other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God, God says he's cursed. That means he's going to die and go to hell unless he gets born again. So that's what he's saying. Those are strong words. People say you shouldn't be so strong. Well, Paul was pretty strong here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He repeats himself in verse number 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I want to preach on this subject this afternoon, and that is grace salvation, grace salvation. We are emphasizing the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. That's what this missions conference is all about. And that gospel is grace. Amen. Not by works, but grace salvation. And I want to talk about that grace salvation this afternoon. Father, thank you once again that you love us. And please, Holy Spirit of God, I need your help today. And I pray that you'd fill me and use me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want to mention to you, and that is there is only one salvation, and that is salvation by grace. Paul made it very clear here. He's speaking to these Galatians, which he preached to. He had gone there in Galatia and had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many people had trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Now, this is years later. And he turns around under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing a letter to the Galatians. And he found out that some of them started listening to false doctrine. Yes, they were saved, but they had started listening to false doctrine. And so in his letter to the Galatians, he says, I marvel. I'm surprised. He says, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But then he clarifies. And he says, which is not another. You see, folks, there's only one gospel. And that is the gospel of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. If you're here today, I don't care if you've this is the first time you've been here, or if you've been here for many, many weeks, but if you are still thinking that you can do something to earn your favor with God in order to get to heaven, then you don't understand the grace of God. Because God says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's not what I do. God is not impressed with Jim Bellotto. He's not impressed with his 24 countries that I've preached in. God's not impressed with the 60 trips that I've taken. He's not impressed for 44 years since I've been saved, because it's not about my works. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're trusting your works, you are trying to boast your way into heaven. You're trying to say to God, look how good I am. Look what I do. I give to the church. I go to church. I'm a good person. Well, there's only one problem with that. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And that means you. They're all gone out of the way, the Bible says. They are together become unprofitable. You know what God is saying? You take all the people around the whole world and you put them all together. And the Bible says they're all together. He says they're nothing. All the good works that we could think about around the world, put all of them together, and God says it's nothing to him. He's not impressed with our works. He's not impressed with us at all. We're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the Bible says very clearly, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift. That means it's already been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The songwriter said it so well when he said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, the Bible says that our works of righteousness is as filthy rags. I've worked on a car before. And you know, when you work on a car, usually you have a little rag next to you. Every once in a while, you get grease on your hands. You take that rag and you wipe your grease off the hand onto that little rag. But you know, if you keep that rag long enough, I've done this before. You keep a rag long enough, the next time you go grab it, all of a sudden the rag's greasier and dirtier than your hands are. And you know what that greasy rag ends up doing? You throw it into the trash. And God says, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You say, Brother Blyle, you're painting a pretty bad picture of the human race. Well, you know, God paints a pretty bad picture of the human race. Not because he hates us, but because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to realize that it is not about us and what we can offer God, because we can only offer him our sin. And he says, but if you, as a person that is a sinner, if you're willing to admit your sinful condition and that you can do nothing to earn your favor with God, and you'll be like, the Bible talks about how I'm an undone person and I can't do anything to earn my way to heaven. But then if you'll turn to the Savior and realize that the Savior paid it all. The songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Now I'm washed as white as snow because of Jesus Christ. And so there's only one gospel. And that is the gospel of the grace of God. I had for 1 year, my brother first shared the gospel with me when I was a 19-year-old lad. I lost my dad when I was 13 years old. He died of cancer. And so I kind of in my heart adopted my brother Gerard. He was 8 years older than me. And he paid attention to me. And so in my heart I adopted him kind of like a father figure. And so I looked up to him. And by the way, I knew his sinful activities. Because as a teenage young man, I used to rifle through his personal effects. And I saw his sin. And I was following in his footsteps. Then one day I was working in New York City, working for Delta Airlines, and one day I received a letter. And it was different from any other letter that my brother had ever written to me. And all of a sudden he was talking about Jesus, and he was talking about being saved. He was talking about being born again. He was talking about knowing for sure that heaven was on his way to, that he was on his way to heaven. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened to my brother? Man, he's a Jesus freak. That's what I was thinking. That was the terminology back then. 1960s, 1970s, early 70s. And for one whole year, my brother kept on preaching to me the gospel of Jesus Christ in letters, mostly in letters, a couple of times one-on-one, but mostly in letters, telling me that I needed to be born again, telling me that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior, telling me that I wasn't good enough to get to heaven. I didn't like to hear that because, you see, I thought I was pretty good. I mean, the fact that I was taking drugs, well, that's not a big deal. You know, we justify our sin, amen? Right. Well, that's not so bad. My lying, well, that's not so bad. What I was watching, what I was looking at, well, that's not so bad. I never killed anybody. What was my problem? For 1 year, I was not willing to admit that my sin was going to damn my soul to hell and that I needed to be saved. But I thank God that in September of 1974, after 1 year, I started going to church with some Christian friends when I was in a secular university, and I came back from one of those church services on a Sunday night, as best I can tell and remember, and I wanted what they had. And I remember sitting down at the corner of my bed and thinking to myself, I want what those people have. They've got something I don't have. And I could hear my brother say, Jim, all you have to do is trust Christ as your Savior. And that night, I humbled myself and said, God, if all I've got to do to get what they have is to trust Christ, I'm trusting Him tonight. And God saved me that night. Amen. That's the only gospel. It's the gospel of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I had to come to that point of my life where I admitted that it wasn't about me and my works. It was the fact that I needed to get born again by Jesus Christ. And this morning, thank be to God, the grace of God can save you today. But these Galatians had gotten confused. And somehow somebody infected them with a false gospel. Not a real gospel. Not another gospel. But a perversion of the gospel. And anytime somebody tries to put works into gospel, either works to get saved or once you are saved, that somehow you have to work your way to stay saved. That's a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying today, first of all, there is only one gospel, and that is the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, here's what I want to talk about. This is how wonderful the gospel is. That we are trying to give to the world. That we're trying to challenge our hearts so that we might give our money or give of our lives and say, I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll say and talk to whoever you want me to talk to. And that is, here's the thing I want you to see here. Our salvation not only is salvation by faith, but it is secured by grace. In other words, it's not only a salvation of grace, it is secured by grace. What do you mean by it's secured by grace? First of all, our salvation was secured in the past. In the past. Please take your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 1. I want you to see this. There are people that are confused about this whole idea that once they're saved, that somehow they get confused, like the Galatians. The Galatians got confused. They were saved. They were saved by grace. But somebody came in and tried to tell them, yeah, but now that you're saved, you got to do something in order to keep this salvation that you got by freedom, a free gift. You got to do something to keep it. And I want you to notice that the Bible says that our salvation is secured by the same grace that saves us. Notice in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. You see, we are secured. Our salvation was secured in the past. Look at chapter 1, verse number 4. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him. Look at the next phrase. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is not saying that God chooses some to be saved and chooses some to go to hell. He's not saying that. What he's saying is God is not limited by time. Are you listening to me? You see, the Bible calls God the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The Bible says that God is known as the first and the last. You see, God is not limited by time. We're limited by time. You know, we started this service on time, 3 o'clock. And then the next service on time, 4 o'clock. And then we hope to get out of here by 10 o'clock. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I just wanted to see if you were still awake out there. That's good. I woke up some of you anyway. But you see, our whole life is time. And that's okay. I mean, the Bible says that he created the earth, the heaven and the earth, and he says the first day he did something, the second day he did something, the third day, the fourth day, and he describes what the day is, 24 hours. And so time is okay because that's how we live. But our God's not limited by time. And because he's not limited by time, our salvation was secured in the past. What do you mean? He sees in the future, he knows those that get saved, and he secured it in the past before it ever happened. Before I ever was born, he knew in September of 1974, Jim Belisle would bow his head and receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. So before the foundation of the earth, are you listening to me? For before the foundation of the earth, I was secure. If you're saved today, before you ever got born, God knew you were going to be saved and he secured you already. Now, those of you that are not saved, you can don't get the idea that somehow you say, well, if I'm saved, you know, God knows about it, and I'll get saved eventually. No, you've got to call upon Jesus Christ to save you. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's a decision you have to make. You have to admit that as a sinner, you need to trust Christ as your personal Savior. But it was secured in the past. God is saying, because of his foreknowledge and seeing into the future, and the fact that he is not limited by time, he sees who's going to be saved and he secures you before it ever happens. Hallelujah. That ought to get you excited as a Christian. These people say, well, you can lose your salvation. You don't understand God. You don't understand his foreknowledge. You don't understand how great our God is. Our God is so great. In fact, the Bible says concerning Jesus that he was slain before the foundation of the earth. Are you listening to me? The Lord Jesus Christ, in God's eyes, because he's not limited by time, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. And the same Jesus that was slain before the foundation of the earth, that same God saved us before the foundation of the earth. What I mean is, he saw that we would be saved and he secured us. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4 is saying. He's saying that our salvation is secured in the past. Not only that, but our salvation is secured in the present. What do you mean? Look at chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 13 and verse number 14. He says, in whom ye have trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, notice what the Bible says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Here's what he's saying. God is saying that you have already, in the present, right now, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and the Bible says that he seals you. He puts a seal on you. It's just like in the future, during the tribulation, the Bible says that Satan and all the people in the world are going to put a seal. They're going to put a seal on their forehead in order to buy anything, in order to sell anything, in order to get any bread, in order to buy fuel for their vehicle. They're going to have a mark of the beast, a seal on their forehead. God says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Then he calls the Holy Spirit the earnest of our inheritance. You know what an inheritance is? An inheritance is something that you get as a result of somebody else. I got an inheritance. My mom passed away. There was eight of us. She didn't have much money. And she didn't, all she had about what that was any value is the house. And there was eight of us. And thankfully, we didn't, you know, bicker over anything. And so you had to cut the pie in eight. And so I didn't get much of an inheritance. But we got an inheritance. A little bit of an inheritance. And God says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest. That's a financial term. What's it mean? It's known as earnest money. What's earnest money? Earnest money is money that you put down when you want to purchase something and you want to say, okay, I'm going to come through with it. They say, okay, give us some earnest money. You get a down payment there. If you don't come through and end up purchasing that promise or that piece of property, you lose the earnest. You lose the money. And the Holy Spirit is our earnest. That means He's our down payment. And if God doesn't save us, that means the Holy Spirit would have to go to hell. And the Holy Spirit's not going to go to hell. You see, He's our down payment. So you see, when God saved us, not only did He secure us in the past because of His foreknowledge, He saw that we were going to be saved. And the Bible says, before the foundation of the earth, He saw it. Then secondly, He says, you've been secured in the present. The minute you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and He put His seal that you're a child of God. I can't see that seal, but God sees it. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're saved today, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't lose something. Why? Because you've been sealed by God. Jesus described it this way when He was on the earth. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And then He said this. He said, I hold them in my hand. Jesus said, they're in my hand. I hold on to them. Then He said, my Father, which is greater than all, they're in my Father's hands. Folks, you're not holding on to Jesus and you're not holding on to God. He's got you in His hand.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, the songwriter years ago when I was a kid, they got the whole world in His hand. Well, He doesn't have the whole world in His hand, but He does have all of God's people in His hands. He's got everybody in His hand that's saved. And the Bible says that Jesus has a hold of us. God the Father has a hold of us. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And you're a man or a woman. And guess what? That means you can't pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. You can't pluck yourself out of the Son's hand. What was wrong with these Galatians? They were saved by grace, but somebody came in and tried to tell them, well, you've got to do something to keep yourself saved. You've got to do something in order to remain saved. But God says, no, no, no. First of all, you've been sealed in the past by God because of His foreknowledge. Secondly, He says, you were sealed the minute you got saved. The present tense. Right now, I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Thirdly, our salvation is secured in the future. By the way, before I get to that, I want you to see something that should cause you to be excited. Look at Romans chapter number 5, please. Romans chapter number 5. Excuse me, Romans chapter number 4. You know what DNA is? DNA is what I received from my parents. Everything that you see about me was given to me by my parents through DNA. The color of my skin is from the DNA. Color of my eyes, the color of my hair when I first got born anyway, was by the DNA. Something happened afterwards. I don't know what it was. Color of my eyes, the shape of my face, how tall I was going to be. Everything about me was given to me. I had nothing to do with it. Amen? Everybody agree with that? That's called the DNA. It's passed down from us. It's an inherited from our parents. Amen? You know what? There's another word that's used in the Bible. It's called imputation. In other words, physically, everything I am was imputed to me by my parents. I had nothing to do with it. Are you listening to me? I had nothing to do with it. It was imputed to me by my parents. Now notice the spiritual imputation that God talks about. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 22. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Talking about Abraham. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In other words, the same salvation that Abraham had by faith, The Bible says it was imputed to him because of his faith. Abraham was saved because of his faith, not by his works. And it was imputed unto him by God, meaning it was transferred to him directly by God. You know what it says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? It says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross. Are you listening to me? Our sins, the sin. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life, here's what God was saying. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, at that moment, we can't understand it because we're mere human beings. But at that moment, the sin of the whole world was imputed unto Jesus Christ. He stood there willingly as a sacrifice, and the Father imputed all the sin of the world, came crashing down on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. He had never committed sin. He had never lied. He had never stolen. He had never done anything wrong. But on the cross of Calvary, somehow miraculously, the sin of the whole world was imputed. He had nothing to do with it. He didn't bring it on him. The Father brought it upon him. And that's why the Bible says that on the cross, he looked up to the Father and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't understand that as a mere human being, but somehow the Father and the Son were separate. I don't know. I don't understand it all, but somehow the Father and the Son were separated. And at that moment, the world, the sin of the world was imputed to Jesus Christ, and Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. And when he rose from the grave, he said, I've got victory over sin. I've got victory over hell. I've got victory over death. And that's why I've got to be saved by Jesus Christ. Because he bore my sin. But wait a second. It also says this in the Bible, that Christ's righteousness was imputed unto us at salvation. Are you listening to me? When I got saved in September 1974, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is holiness, which is perfection, which is sinlessness, that righteousness was imputed to me. I didn't do anything to earn it except call upon Christ. And at that moment, the righteousness of Christ came upon me. And if you're saved today, the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers you. You see, you are secured in the present. The minute you got saved, Christ's perfection, his righteousness, his sinlessness was imputed to you. Just like I received the DNA from my parents, did nothing to earn it. The Bible says the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed unto me the minute I got saved. If you're saved today, you can't lose that. Why? Because you're righteous. You're righteous in the sight of God. You have Christ's righteousness upon you. Now, wait a second. Not only that, but our salvation is secured in the future. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's future tense. In other words, in the future should not perish, but have everlasting life. He continues, look at the book of John, not only John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, but look also in John chapter number 3. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 36, John chapter 3 and verse number 36. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth on not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. In John chapter number 5 and verse number 24, notice what the Bible says. John chapter 5 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And here's that future tense. And shall not come into condemnation. Christian, are you listening to what the Bible says? He says, you cannot. Are you listening? You cannot. Are you listening? You cannot come into condemnation. After salvation, you have eternal life. He says, you can't in the future. I don't care what you do. You can't come into condemnation. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. There's nothing I can do. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. When you're saved forever. You're saved eternally. There's nothing you can do in the future that can cause you to be unsaved. But it says, but pass from death unto life. Christian, your salvation was secured in the past because of the foreknowledge of God. He saw in the future was going to get saved. He says, man, that's a done deal. That's a done deal. Your salvation was secured in the present. In other words, the minute you got saved, the righteousness of Christ came upon you. And right now, if you're saved, God sees Christ. He sees Christ's righteousness. He doesn't see my righteousness because I don't have any. I don't have any righteousness. But praise God, God looks down from heaven and he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness on me today.
Amen.
What sin are you talking about? There's none. Why? As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, our sins are washed away, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God eternally. My sins are T-O-N-E, gone.
Amen.
Almost forgot how to spell there. I said all that to say this. Christian, your salvation's secure. It was secured in the past because of the foreknowledge of God. It was secured in the present because the minute you got saved, Christ's righteousness came upon you. And thirdly, he said, you're secured in the future. He said, shall not come into condemnation, shall not perish. Nothing you can do. Let me ask you a question, Christian. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? If your salvation's secure, if you got saved by grace, and because of that grace, now you are secure. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. I once was blind, but now I see. The songwriter said, I once was on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I once was an enemy of God, but now I'm a friend of God. I once was an alien to God. Now I'm part of his family. I once had sin on my life and I had to pay for my own sin. But now that I'm saved, the sin is gone and I have Christ's righteousness. I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you doing for God? Are we ingrates? Are we going through life now that we've been saved and we're secured in our salvation? Are we now going through life and saying, well, thanks, Lord. I appreciate that. I'm just going to go live by like I want to live. If your salvation's secure, what are you doing for Jesus? Willingly. What are you doing for Jesus? Willingly. You see, the song Amazing Grace was written by a man that was a slave trader. John Bunyan. Is John Bunyan? No. Newton. John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader. But when all of a sudden he understood the grace of God, he said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But you know what? He didn't just write that song. He changed his life. He eventually stopped being a slave trader and he eventually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. I ask you a question. Now that you realize you're secure in Jesus, Christian, what are you doing for Jesus? The Bible says that we should, now that we're saved, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but we ought to live for other people. I've said this to my wife many times in my travels and my trips. You know, some people think that traveling is, you know, so exotic. Time and again I've gotten home and I've looked at my wife and said, why am I doing this? I said, I wouldn't do this for money. I'm serious. I would not travel like I'm traveling for money. Because when I travel, almost every time I travel, I'm just thinking, at least one time during one trip, every trip, I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing this to my body? I'll tell you why I'm doing it. What else can I do but serve God? Amen? What else can I do but give him everything that I have? He's given me the breath to breathe. He's given me the eyes to see. He's given me the hands to hold. He's given me the feet to walk. He's given me a wife to love. He's given me children that are serving God, that are raised and now saved. Why can I not serve God? I ask you a question. You're secure in Jesus, friend. But what are you doing for him? Now that you're saved, what are you doing for him? Is life so dear that we just hold on to it and selfishly live like we did before we got saved? Or are we going to allow ourselves to be controlled by the love of Christ? The love of Christ should constrain us. Constrain us. That means to push us forward. so that we can serve Jesus Christ with all our lives. I just ask you tonight, as we close, I just ask you this question. If you're saved, if you're not saved today, there's a God that wants to save you. No matter what you've done, if you're willing to repent and receive Christ as your Savior and trust only what He did on the cross as the only way to get to heaven, He'll save anybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. Let me ask you a question, Christian. You're secure in Jesus tonight. I mean, it's a done deal. Your salvation's secure. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ is your Savior. God is your Father. And now God says this, what are you willing to do for me? Before He left, He looked at Peter. And He said these words to Peter. Peter had gotten discouraged. Peter had stopped serving the Lord. Peter had gone back to fishing instead of serving. Peter came, and Jesus came back to him lovingly. Fed him. And while He was feeding him, He looked at Peter and He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Here's what Jesus said. He said, feed my sheep. He wasn't talking about the fish that was boiling or grilling out there. He was talking about serving Him. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, I love you. And the second time He asked him, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And the third time He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's frustrated by now, and he says, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And He said, feed my sheep. What was He saying? Get busy. He said, Peter, get busy. Get busy. Serve me by serving others. Get busy. You say you love me. Get busy. I ask you a question this morning. You've been saved by grace. You're secure by grace. But I want to ask you a question. Will you serve by grace? Will you serve by grace? Will you allow the grace of God to come into your life and say, okay, Lord, I don't have much, but I'm going to give everything I have to you. What do you want me to give to missions? You just tell me, Lord, I'll do it. Where do you want me to go, Lord? You just tell me, where do you want me to go? You want me to talk to people about Jesus? Lord, give me the strength to do it. I'll talk to people about Jesus Christ. That's the question this morning. And that is, you're saved by grace. You're secure by grace. But will you serve by grace?